Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55. We've been having some exciting messages around here on Wednesday nights. Been preaching on funerals. Well, that's supposed to be a joke. You can't sing with me, right? You can't laugh at my jokes. What am I going to do with you? Isaiah 55, verse number 8. Well, we did teach on how to prepare for a funeral last week. The honest truth is, a lot of people die and leave it all up to somebody else, and somebody else has got to do it when they ought to be able to just grieve and pour their heart out to the Lord and not have to worry about making decisions about money and finding a burial plot and making decisions at funeral homes and all that. If it's all planned out ahead of time, if I plan mine out and you know what it is, then you can carry it out. Without having to put a lot of thought into it. You just read the paper and do it. Amen. And so that allows people to go through that difficult time without so much mental stress on them. Their heart's already stressed. And so we need to take some of the mental stress off. And so tonight, now, we've talked about preparing for a funeral. Tonight, we're going to talk about this. Let's give it a title. You ready? Here's the title of our message tonight. Burial versus cremation. Dash. What does God think? Burial versus creation. Starts like creation. Man, that'd be a whole other sermon, wouldn't it? Burial versus cremation. What does God think? Let's read these two verses, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Here's the Lord speaking. Now, you can just write that in the margin of your Bible and say, this is a quote by God. This is God's words. Here he says in verse number 8, "For my thoughts," God's thoughts, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the," who? The Lord. So the Lord's speaking. He said, now let's stop there and analyze that just for a minute. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You with me? How many of you believe God can think a little bit better than we can? Yeah, I do too. Now let's look at verse number 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is making a statement there tonight to us. Listen to this. God is making a statement. He's saying, I have thoughts that are so high, you can't quite reach them. So, we don't really have to debate about whether or not God's right. He knows so much more than we do. I mean, what's the big theological word they use for it? He is omniscient. Looks like omniscience. If you talk about the omniscience of God, that means omni, all over, everywhere, including everything. He knows everything, science, knowledge. Omniscience, the omniscience of God. He knows everything. So if he knows everything, I've got no business trying to outthink God. So that's where we're starting from tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Help us to put aside our own preconceived notions, Lord. Lord, you know that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to lay aside our thoughts and to focus on your thoughts. And so, Lord, help us to do that tonight. Lord, we pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God would give us knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and decisiveness about this thing of cremation versus burial. Bless, we pray now in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen. Well, let's say one time, now this truth, one time I loaned somebody a tool. And I loaned them a tool, and a few weeks later I needed that tool, and so I asked the person about it, and you know what he told me? He said, I threw that thing away. I said, you what? He said, I threw it away. He said, it wasn't much good, and so I didn't figure it's worth anything, so I threw it away. You know the problem with that? That was my tool. Wasn't his business whether or not it ought to be thrown away. If it was a piece of junk, Harbor Freight, made in China, that's my business. If he would have given it back to me, if I'd have felt like throwing it away, then I could have thrown it away. Let's say, Brother Al's got a nice red pickup out. And it is a nice looking truck. And what kind is it? It's not a Dodge. It's a what? A Chevrolet. Everybody say, ah. let's say that I borrow Brother Al's truck. He's nice enough. I said, Brother Al, I need to use your truck. Would you loan it to me for the day? And he said, well, sure, preacher, I'll let you have it. Just I'll need you back this evening. I said, okay. And so I take off in his truck. And he calls me about dark, and he says, hey, preacher, I didn't mind you using my truck, but I kind of need it back. Are you finished with it? And I said, well, you know, Brother Al, transmission went out of that thing. And I was close to a salvage yard, and I told him, come and get it. And they hauled it away. And after all, it was a Chevy anyway. Now, guess what? He might be a little bit upset about that, wouldn't he? That thing's worth more than a transmission. I mean, even a Chevrolet is worth putting a transmission in when it's nearly a new truck and a pretty truck. As you see, if it's his truck, it's not my decision whether to throw it away or not. Now, here's what I want you to think with me about tonight. If, let's just say, big if now. If God has a design in His Word, if He's got a design for my funeral, for my burial, if He has a design for that, I don't have the right to go against God as His child. I'm supposed to do what He wants. Doesn't the Scripture say? The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. What was the price? Blood of Jesus. Hey, when Jesus purchased my soul with the blood of Christ, then He has the right to do with this tool whatever He wants to. He's not supposed, I'm not supposed to throw it away if God's got something He wants to do with it. So I want you to think with me about that point just for a little bit tonight. Now, I want to give you some things. You might want to jot them down. I'll give you a few points to consider in just a moment. But let me just say this by way of introduction. In the ancient world, they had some ways of taking care of dead bodies when somebody died. Cremation was the normal practice of dealing with dead bodies in Rome and Greece. Before the time of Christ, Rome and Greece took care of dead bodies by cremation. You say, well, that's pretty old practice. The Hindus did in India long before that. They took care of bodies by cremation. And so it's an old practice. But when Jesus came along, He wasn't cremated. Things were done differently. And I want to make a point about this. If in the Old Testament world, in the ancient times, if cremation had been underway for a long time, and it had, in Rome and Greece and India and lots of other countries, all of those, by the way, all of those countries were not countries that followed the Old Testament, nor did they follow the New Testament at the time of Christ. Those countries were pagan countries. And so, if God, being omniscient, knowing everything, and knowing that it was pretty common in those days among the pagan societies to burn their dead, cremate them, if God was in favor of it, don't you think that maybe He would have said something in approval about it, or maybe some examples of how to do it, or maybe some examples among His people that He would have done that because it had been done for a long time, and surely God knew about it. Surely God's people knew about it, but they didn't practice that. The catacombs in Rome give proof that the early Christians in the New Testament era practiced burial. And so why were Christians so concerned about a proper disposal of the body? Let me give you four reasons real quick. This is just an introduction, but four reasons why Christians were very concerned about taking care of the body in a proper way. Number one, the body of every human is created by whom? God. In whose image? In His. All right? And so, if our body is made in the image of God, then it ought to be treated with due reverence and respect. Wouldn't you agree with that? Number two, they were concerned about it because of the incarnation of Christ. When Jesus decided to come to the world, what does it say in John chapter 1? It says, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized. Who was the Word? That was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When Jesus decided to come to the earth, how did he come? He didn't come as an angel. When he came down on the cross, how did he come? He didn't come as an animal. How did Jesus come? He came as a man in a human body. He had a human mother, not a human father, because the Holy Ghost was his father. And so that body of Jesus was a uniquely hallowed body, and it was buried. Number three, the reason they early Christians were concerned about disposal of the body in a proper way, the Holy Spirit indwelt those bodies. Ever since the beginning of the church, Christians have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're none of His. Every Christian who is born again, every born-again Christian has the Spirit of God living in him. Everybody in this room tonight who is saved has the Holy Spirit of God living in your body. And so that makes your body a very special place, is it not? In the Old Testament, where did God meet with people? In the tabernacle and then later on in the temple? Did they show very much respect to that tabernacle? Nobody just went barging in the tabernacle and slinging the curtains open and barging into the Holy of Holies. No, sir. Only the high priest could do that at a specified time. Later in the temple was built out of beautiful, beautiful materials. It was majestic. The Jews loved their temple, and that's where God met with them, in the temple. And the temple was not something to be tampered with. That's why when the temple was finally destroyed the last time in AD 70 by the Roman army, Israel wept. They were dispersed, and they still want to build another temple today. The temple was revered and respected. Where does the Holy Spirit live today? This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Number four, the reason they were very concerned in early Christianity about the proper disposal of the body is because Jesus himself was buried and raised bodily from the grave. How do we know it was the same body? It was a changed body, but it was the same body, because remember when doubting Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see the print of the nails in his hand and that place in his side where that spear was. And so finally Jesus showed him the prints of the nails, and what did he do? He didn't even touch him. He just dropped to his knees and said, My Lord and my God. He saw that same body. Well, in the context of the early church, when cremation was associated with pagan rituals and unbiblical beliefs, burial seemed to be the more loving and respectful way to take care of the body. And what about today? Times have changed, haven't they? Times have changed. Let me give you a little tidbit of information. You know, when the first cremation took place in America, I want to give you a couple of facts about it that'll blow your mind. The first cremation in America took place in 1876, and it was accompanied by readings from Charles Darwin and the Hindu scriptures. Now, does that sound like a good precedent to you? That's something to consider, isn't it? Charles Darwin, the premier evolutionist, who said there is no God that created everything. Well, it's changed dramatically since then. Only 5% of Americans were cremated in 1962. 5% in 1962. By 2000, it was 25.5%. By 2000, a quarter of the funerals in America were done by cremation. In Japan, where sometimes burial is even illegal, the cremation rate is at 98%. 98%. The rise in the number of cremations is done, it's the result of a lot of factors. What do you think some of them would be? Expense. Funerals are expensive, aren't they? And cremations are a little cheaper. So that's one. What about people are not associated with the same place as much as they used to be. You know, people used to live in communities. They were born and lived and died in the same community, and they were buried in the cemetery there in their community, and people move around a lot more today. And so it doesn't seem as important to modern culture. And then you got a lot of New Age thought floating around today. You know, it's spirituality, but it's not Christianity. And so the New Age types think, you know, if the body's cremated, that just frees the spirit. It can float around and go anywhere. That comes from Hindu teaching, by the way, reincarnation and so forth. So even the very liberal Christianity Today magazine makes this statement. While they're trying to, in their article on cremation, they try to ease the tension and be open-minded to the idea of cremation, but still yet they make this declarative statement: the weight of Christian tradition clearly favors burial. So even such broad, open-minded people as those at Christianity Today say that it's still a tradition that's been used over the years. Now, let me say something. I'm going to stop in the middle before we get to the points. I just want to say something up front, and I'll reiterate it again at the end. Probably all of us, most of us, maybe all of us, have had maybe family members or loved ones who've been cremated. And if they were Christians, I won't say right up front, if they were Christians, then their spirit's in heaven, and their body will be resurrected. It hasn't changed anything about their Christianity. They're okay. All right? They're okay. If they've been cremated, nothing you can go back and do about the past. And not trying to make anybody feel bad. All of us probably had some relatives who have been involved in that. And some people just want to be cremated. And I mean, if that's what they want, then you let them do that, right? Well, none of us are to take over somebody else's life, tell them what they can do and what they can't do. So I just wanted to put you at ease. I'm not going to try to put anybody on a guilt trip. I want to go back to the opening illustration about the guy that threw my tool away. Now, it was my tool, and he shouldn't have thrown it away. Even if it wasn't much, as Dad used to say, even if it wasn't much pumpkin, it was my tool. And I should have got to keep it. And if God owns us, He ought to be able to do what He wants to and instruct us to do what He wants us to do about our bodies at time of a funeral. And it's not got anything to do with whether you're going to be saved or not, whether you're going to go to heaven or not. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But it's like this. There's a lot of things in our Christian lives that we ought to do because we love the Lord, not because it's going to get us to heaven. One thing gets us to heaven. What is it? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've been saved by grace, then heaven is our home. But that doesn't mean that just because I've been saved by grace that I ought to go around disobeying God and doing as I please if He's given me instructions otherwise. Now, let me give you some points to consider, and whether to be buried or cremated, and the decision will ultimately be yours. Nobody can tell you what you ought to do or what you can do, but I think Christians ought to be informed, don't you? Ought to be informed, make the right choice, and to know whether or not our choice is going to please God. So, first point on considering whether or not God would be pleased with a cremation as opposed to a burial. Number one, nobody disputes the fact that it is of pagan origin. Nobody disputes that. Pagan origin. In Hindu India, when somebody dies, they generally build a brush pile by the river, and they've got professional people, attendants who attend to the burning of bodies, and there's a lot of people in India, isn't there? A lot of people there, and a lot of people die every day. And so they build a big brush pile to the edge of the river. They lay a body on top of it, set it afire, and they've got attendants there with a pole that pokes the body and keeps shoving it back into the fire and trying to burn up all the pieces. And when they decide that it's been there long enough, whatever's left over, they take their poles and rake the remains off the river, and off it goes, whatever's left. And that just seems to me like that's a pretty crude way to take care of the body of somebody you love. And that's the way they've done it for thousands of years. And they do have a belief in reincarnation. Now, let me give you number two. Second point to consider. God's people have always practiced burial. God's people. I'm talking about Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. They all practiced burial as opposed to cremation. And yes, they did. They sure did. So the question arises then. Here's the question that comes up. Somebody said, well, all right, there's no direct command in the Bible that says you must be buried and can't be cremated. That's true. So then the next question is, since the Bible doesn't give us a direct command against cremation, wouldn't it be okay then to just make the choice and do it? Well, the answer is in Romans 15:4. Would you turn there with me? There's a couple of scriptures that will cite very similar things here. And after all, we're concerned about what God thinks. And that's the title of our message, Cremation versus Burial. What does God think? Well, in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means the Old Testament, New Testament, but especially here in Romans, it's speaking about the Old Testament. For whatsoever things, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our what? Our learning. So the things that were written, what is, that's all the examples of the Old Testament. Things that that appear to be examples that God set in motion, then they were given for our learning. Now look at one other scripture on that same line in 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. This is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. There we read, now all these things happened unto them. Now stop right there. Who is the pronoun then, them, referring to? To the people in the Old Testament. Now all these things, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for, what's the next word? In samples. What's an ensample? An example, right? In fact, that word is used interchangeably in the King James Bible. He says that all the things that happened unto them, the Old Testament saints, happened for in samples, and they are written for our admonition. Underline that word our. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the worlds are come. Now, the Romans and the Greeks had cremation. The pagans had cremation in practice, but the Bible has examples for us as God's people all through the Bible. He has examples for us that He set in motion of burial. So those examples are for us to follow. You understand what I'm saying? The examples are given for us to follow. Why else would God give us an example? These are positive examples. Let me give you just a few. You can jot these down if you'd like to. I want to give you some examples from the Old Testament and in the New Testament where people were buried, not cremated. Genesis 25, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 25, 8 through 10. We read that last week. That's where Abraham, where Abraham buried his wife, Sarah. But this is Abraham. Abraham was buried in Genesis 25, verses 8 through 10. Now, Sarah was buried in Genesis 23, 1 through 4. 23, 1 through 4. So there's both Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is known as the father of the Jews. Would you say that's a pretty good example? He's the father of God's original people. So Abraham and his wife both buried, not cremated. Rachel, in Genesis 35, 19 and 20. Rachel was buried. Isaac was buried. Genesis 35, 29. Jacob was buried. Hey, these are the patriarchs. The patriarchs are the examples of God's people in Israel. Jacob was buried. Genesis 49, 33. And then Joseph was buried. Genesis 50, verse 26. Joshua was buried in Joshua 24, 29 and 30. Joshua 24, verses 29 and 30. Eleazar was buried. Joshua 24, 33. Samuel was buried. The great prophet Samuel. Samuel was buried. 1 Samuel 25, 1. King David was buried. 2 Kings 2:10. Hey, King David, if you go to Israel today and you ask those people who are living in Israel today, say, who's your biggest hero out of the Jewish tradition, out of all the Jews, out of all the Hebrews, who's your hero? They're all going to say, oh, King David, man. King David's our hero. He's our king. He's our hero. And King David was buried. John the Baptist was buried. Matthew 14, verses 10 through 12. Ananias and Sapphira were buried. Acts 5, 5 through 10. Stephen was buried. Acts 8, 2. Now, that's just a partial list, but that'll give you some idea of some of the most well-known people in the Bible that were buried. Now, let me give you I think we're on the third point. Now, I didn't number these, but the third thing to consider about cremation or burial. God's people always had used burial, they practiced burial, even when it was difficult. Even when it was difficult. Think about Joseph. Joseph was down in Egypt, and remember, he was Pharaoh's right-hand man. He lived there, and he was admired by all the Egyptian people, and the land of Israel was on starvation. And so Joseph had all of his family move down to Egypt. Remember, before they were put in bondage, they were living down there free at that time. And Joseph was, he was prime minister of Egypt. And before Joseph died, he gave a commandment to all of his family that was living in Egypt at that time. And Joseph said, when you go out of here, you're going to go back to your land, to the promised land one of these days. And he said, I don't care how long it is, you take my bones with you and bury me in the promised land. Bury me in Canaan. Now, wouldn't it have been a lot easier rather than have to get Joseph's carcass together and haul it in a wagon all the way to Israel from Egypt? Wouldn't it have been a lot simpler just to burn him and put him in a little urn and carry him home in a little piece of pottery? That would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? But they didn't do that. So even in circumstances where it's very difficult, they hauled his body all the way back and buried him just like he requested. Even when burial was difficult. That's in Exodus. Well, you can read in Exodus chapter 50, verses 24 and 25. What else about burial that's positive in the Bible? Burial looks forward to the resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. Romans 8, 22 and 23. Burial looks forward to the resurrection. The Bible says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, we're going to be on this subject Sunday morning as we're preaching through 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. And we're going to be talking about the resurrection. So don't want to spend too much time on it right here. But God's people have always looked forward to the resurrection. You say, you mean in the New Testament, preacher? No, I mean in the Old Testament too. God's people looked forward to a resurrection in the Old Testament before Jesus was ever born. You say, can you prove that? Well, yeah, if you go back and read about Job, Job is considered to be the oldest book in the Bible. And Job said this in Job 19, 25 through 27. Listen to this. Job, in the oldest book of the Bible, you say Job is older than Genesis? That's what they tell us. Because this is before the time of Jerusalem, before the time of the law, before the time of the temple, before any of that. Job is older. Most scholars agree that Job is older than Genesis. You say, how could that be? Because Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But Job had already been written, and you did know that all the books in the Bible are not in chronological order the way they happened, right? And that's the way they learned that right off the bat in Faith Bible Institute, that books of the Bible are arranged according to subject matter, not chronologically. And so in Faith Bible Institute, they study them chronologically because you can kind of keep up with the way things are moving along the timeline. But here's what Job said, the oldest book of the Bible. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Now, he knew about the second coming too, didn't he? "And though after my skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed with me." Hey, Job knew that there was going to be a resurrection. He said, "You're going to put me in the grave, and the skin worms are going to destroy this old body. Yeah, it's going to go back to dust." By the way, the Bible doesn't say dust to dust and ashes to ashes. You knew that too, didn't you? It doesn't say that any more than it says cleanliness is next to godliness. Nor does it say spare the rod and spoil the child. Those words are not in there. The principle's in there. You're supposed to correct your children. But words are not in there. Dust to dust and ashes to ashes are not in there. Dust. Our body goes back to dust, but not dust to ashes. And so Job said that the skin worms are going to destroy this old body in the grave, but I'll be laying there waiting for the trumpet to sound, and I'm going to stand and see God in my flesh. So you see, we're looking forward to a resurrection as Christians, and just like Jesus came out of the grave in that body, a changed body, we're going to come out of the grave in a changed body. And it's going to be the same body, but a changed body. Well, let me give you another point. I'm trying to go a little faster so we get them all in here. Everybody all right? All right. Anybody mad yet? How about this one? God practices burial. God practices burial. Now wait, we're talking about examples, man. What better example could we have than God Himself? You say, when did God practice burial? If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, we'll see where God Himself buried somebody. He buried somebody. Who was it? Moses. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died," and you and I are going to die also. "Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." Why did nobody know? Because God buried him. God told Moses, because he said, "You're going to go up on Mount Nebo." He said, "You're going to look out there. You're going to be able to see the land, but you can't go in. It's time to die." And the Bible says, and he buried him there. How about that? Being buried by God Himself. God didn't use cremation. When it came time to dispose of Moses' body, what did he do? He buried him. I'm just talking about biblical examples. Well, here's another point to consider. Cremation is usually a sign in the Bible of judgment or a curse. Really? Yeah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? How did those people in Sodom and Gomorrah die? What happened to their bodies? God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven in judgment, and they were burned up. Fire in the Bible is generally, especially death by fire, is a sign of judgment. And so that's why it's not a very good symbol for Christians to be disposed of by fire. What about Nadab and Abihu? Remember them? Nadab and Abihu, the sons of the high priest, they offered strange fire upon the altar, and boom, God sent a flame out of that altar and just burned them up. Why? Judgment. What about the men who rebelled with Korah and his crowd in Numbers 16:35? Fire. Burned them up. The example of idols in Exodus 32:20, Deuteronomy 7:25, 2 Kings 10:26. What about the example of the magic books in Acts chapter 19, verse 18? Burned them. Sign of judgment. The example of the unsaved cast into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And they, whoever's name are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, were cast into the lake of fire. It burneth with fire and brimstone." Cast into the lake of fire. This hell itself is filled with fire. and is a symbol of judgment. In the Bible, it was considered, just another point, it was considered a dishonor for a person not to have a proper burial. Jezebel, because of her wickedness, they couldn't find enough of her to bury. And it talks about what a shame that it was. The Midianites, which perished at Endor. The Bible says they became as dung for the earth. The Christian's body, there's another point. The Christian's body belongs to God. Remember, that's where we kind of started from. The Christian's body belongs to the Lord. You're bought with a price. So, God has the right to do what He pleases with us. God has spoken negatively about cremation. Amos 2:1, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. Doesn't sound good. The Lord Jesus was buried, and he's our great example. When Jesus was buried, they took him down off the cross. The Sabbath was about to come. It's almost evening time. The Sabbath starts at 6 o'clock. At sundown, they hurriedly take Jesus down off the cross. They find the sepulcher that was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, and they take him and lay him in the tomb. They didn't burn him. It would have been a lot less troublesome, I suppose, for them to just burn him, but they didn't do that. They took him and laid him in the tomb and wrapped him. They went and bought linen and wrapped his body with linen, put spices in it. Evidently not as much as they wanted to because of the hurriedness. But the women, when they came to the tomb on Sunday morning, remember after the resurrection had took place, they came to the graveyard and they had sweet spices with them. They were going to give Jesus a proper finished burial. They were going to roll the stone back from the door and finish putting the spices in the linens that's wrapped around him like a mummy. And so Jesus was tenderly and sweetly buried. And the resurrection was just around the corner. If Jesus, our Savior, was buried, what kind of great example is that? And once again, I'll close with this. If you've got a loved one that's been cremated, you know, we can't do anything about the past. And if you decide to be cremated, I'll love you just the same. I won't be mad at you if any of you decide to be cremated. That's your choice. But my job as a pastor is to try to take the Scriptures and teach you what God is pleased to have out of us. He says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You know, thoughts. The burial or the cremation really doesn't have a lot to do with the dead person, does it? It has more to do with the living. And so it has a lot to do with our final thoughts, the last thoughts that we have of that loved one. And that's why I think it's important to plan a funeral properly and have a funeral that leaves us thinking more pleasant thoughts than morbid thoughts. I was called to a funeral home back several years ago, and I believe my wife went with me out there. Got a call from a funeral home in town, and had a couple there that had just come in from out of town, out of state, and they come to see their loved one. If I remember right, I believe it was her father. And they asked if they were trying to get a hold of a preacher. They didn't know me, but the funeral home got a hold of me, and they wanted somebody to come out and try to comfort, give them a little comfort, offer them some words of comfort, and pray with them. And so we did. But I'll never forget the picture in my mind. They were the only two that were present there before the body was disposed of. It was an unclothed body lying on a gurney awaiting cremation. There was no funeral service, no suit of clothes, no nothing but a sheet lying over the body. And so we went back. They wanted to see the body before it was cremated. And I prayed with them. And tried to offer some words of comfort as best I could. But as I left, I could only think of how sad and lonely that was. Hardly anybody came. And that poor man's body was sent out of this world unclothed and unmourned on a cold slab. And as they left, I thought, man, I didn't know him. I didn't know them. I was thinking to myself, what a sad way for a life to end. Seemed like at least some sort of an inexpensive funeral would be in order. And that if that body were placed even in the pauper's grave, in a wooden casket, it would still be lying there, his body would still be there in that grave as if awaiting a resurrection. I don't know if he was saved or not. I don't know. And as far as he's concerned, it made no difference to him. But a funeral is for the living. And I would just hate for my last picture in my mind and the last thoughts to be of an unclothed body lying on a gurney about to be slid into an incinerator. Somehow it just doesn't seem like a pleasant memory to have of that loved one. And God and God's people have always used burial. And so for that reason, I'll always feel like burial is a proper way to dispose of a body. And if somebody does, I preach funerals for people who were cremated. And it does not change anything about their destination. If they were saved, they still go to heaven. But we're painting a picture at a funeral for those who are left behind. It ought to be reverent, as pleasant as possible. That's my thoughts. Now you can make your own decision. I love you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that shows us the examples of all the saints, patriarchs, prophets, the New Testament preachers, and Christians who were all buried. Lord, I don't guess anybody thinks funerals is a very pleasant subject, but Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to make our plans in such a way that it'll leave our loved ones thinking good thoughts of us instead of unpleasant memories. I pray that you'd bless us as we consider in our hearts what we ought to do, how we ought to deal with this subject. Lord, I pray you'd let everyone in this room, those watching by internet and those who are listening by audio, let them know, Lord, that I would not try to make anybody feel bad about loved ones who have been cremated, or even if they themselves plan to be cremated. I would not want them to feel like I have been critical of them, but rather trying to fulfill my duties as a pastor to show the biblical example and the biblical admonitions to do things according to your thoughts. Bless us now in the invitation time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.